Okay, this is the second discussion, and it's on the psychological lens. So, the first question is, what psychological conflicts drive the characters or the plot?
So, for my book, Fahrenheit 451, I think that curiosity really drives Guy and pushes him to want to know more about the books and why people set themselves on fire for their books and don't like why they love them so much. He doesn't really understand. And I think at the point where he steals the book, that was where it was like really, it showed like curiosity is really, he's just interested. He wants to know why people are so curious. Why people are so obsessed with books.
They set themselves on fire in the book?
Well, the firemen burned this one house, and then the lady stayed in the house and burned it.
Yeah, she had thousands of books.
Yeah.
And so she was like, basically, she didn't want them to burn it down. And like, normally, I think how it's supposed to work is like the police come ahead of time, and then they take the people in the house that are living there away.
Yeah.
And then the firemen come and set the books on fire. But in this case, like the police weren't there or whatever, and so when the fireman got there, she was there, and she was like, no, I'm not leaving. Like, she was like, no, he understood it as, like, there must have been something in those books that, like, she risked her life and, like, stayed there to, like, die for those books, right?
I agree. It's, like, curiosity, and it's kind of like Guy trying to figure out what's, like, right and what's wrong, and, like, what his own morals are. Because he sees this lady and she literally like burns herself alive. And yeah, he's like, is this right? We're destroying like all these people's works that they had put their life into and all like just all of a sudden it's like gone. So yeah, like curiosity, like what's right from wrong and that.
And also when like Clarice goes and talks to Guy, she kind of asks him to question what he was doing. So then like by putting that seed into his mind, he has to think about, are the firefighters really supposed to do what they're doing right now? Are they supposed to burn the books? And like, is the government or the way society is at the moment currently right? Because he's been given that kind of thought by Clarice, so then that's kind of making him question everything.
Yeah, I agree. I think that also like Montag, when he first like in that house and he first realizes, and he like read something too, like there was a line and it like got him hooked on like he wanted to know like what it was about or what it was trying to say. Yeah. And like what you're saying, Izzy, like the curiosity is like conflicting like his morals and like what he thinks he should do with like what he wants to do. And I think that that's like furthering the plot because it's like we don't really know what he's going to do next, and so it gives like the opportunity for so many different situations to like happen. And he's also affecting Mildred, that's his wife's name, right? He's also affecting her because like in the beginning of the book we saw her as like super plain and like bland, right? And she's becoming she's like changed her personality a bit, almost, at least from what I've got. And Now that Guy told her about the books and like showed them to her too, she's also having to deal with like the inner conflict of like, do I like follow what he's saying, and like, do I trust him that like maybe what she's been taught like isn't the truth, and like maybe there is something in these books.
Like I said, she's kind of ignorant, and she that's kind of what drives her, and she just kind of likes to just not think for herself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
she kind of just goes with what she's told and likes that and doesn't want to change, and he's got this sudden spark of curiosity that she's just not used to.
It's kind of interesting with those two characters, with Guy and Mildred, because like you said, Mildred likes to kind of just like go along with everything, but then when it comes to Guy, she doesn't. Like, it never seems like she takes his side, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it shows the dynamic of their relationship is, like, kind of strange and, like, so weird.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of, like, lies and deceit that is going on all our books, if I'm not wrong, and it's, like, that's kind of, like, that kind of drives, too, because a lot of people are realizing, oh, Like, I've been lied to this entire time. Like, in my book, there's this one individual, his name is Robert Childen, and he sells American artifacts. And he thought that there were authentic American artifacts until someone comes in and says, hey, this gun you're selling is fake. So then it kind of clicked for him. Oh my god, like, I've been selling, like, now he has this conflict with himself, always, like, when he's selling something, he's like, well, what if it's fake? Like, what if all the stuff that I'm possessing right now in my shop saying it's authentic, it's fake. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like that kind of drives the plot a little bit. And there's also, like, a lot of prejudice that's going on in my book, and a lot of racism that's going on in my book, and a lot of, like, preconceived opinions about certain individuals, like the Japanese. And that's kind of brought on by Robert Childen too, because he acts as though they're superior to him, but the way he thinks is like, oh, they're not as superior as me, like, I'm better than them. Yeah. There's a lot of I'm better than them going on in my book. Yeah. So what significant symbols or events are going to have psychological effects on the characters, and are there any words that the author used that are like problem words, and why did you guys think he used them?
So one specific thing that I found was, it's not like mentioned too much, but then he says, then motion pictures in the early 20th century came, radio, television, things began to have mass. So I thought like the word mass was interesting, how he used it, because it's like things became like real, like that you could physically feel them, and they had weight and like different, mm-hmm. not in the sense of it has mass, but like it has strings attached to it, and there's more responsibility, and there's all this like limitation and pressure and like other things that come with this like device. So yeah, that was.
Yeah, I think also, I mean, books as a symbol, I think that they kind of, they're a symbol for knowledge and thinking for yourself and opinions, because those are just not known in the world that they live in at that time, and so that's why they try to oppress all of, you know, like, thought for yourself and, like, just being happy, you know, and, like, reading things that are fake, they think it's all wrong, and that's all, like, books represent all of that, and so I think that's one of the symbols.
In my book, The Man in the High Castle, there's the I Ching that I talked about last time. It's like the fortune teller, and it's a huge symbol because they basically like refer to it as like the high god. Basically, it like tells them what's going to happen, mm-hmm. and what decisions they should make. But as the book goes further on, there are some people that start thinking, oh, do I need to use that anymore? Like, is that going to help me in some way? And there are people who stick to it, and they're like, oh yes, like, this is going to show me what's going to happen. Because there is this individual that ends up killing two people, and he is so, like, depressed because of it, that he goes to the action, and it's like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? And there are people who are watching him and saying, this is the way he's going to comfort himself. Like, it symbolizes peace, basically, like, tranquility.
And does it like change how the different characters like think?
It does, actually.
Like
if they were gonna make a decision about something, like,
yeah.
the I Ching, if it comes out, like, there's different hexagrams that come out. Like, if it's a certain thing and it tells them danger, then they start worrying. They're like, oh my god, danger is the end. So they're so like focused, they're so used to this is right and this is like going to tell me what's gonna happen, that they don't even think the possibility of maybe, like, that's just
maybe it's
a
not
fortune.
True. Yeah.
Like, you know? You never know.
It's kind of like a way to, like, cope with things,
yeah.
I feel like, because they have nowhere else to go for answers, because mm-hmm. in your book it's kind of like a really, like, messed up society,
yeah, it's very
right?
Restricted.
So they have, like, that's, like, their only form of, like, they feel like they can have control over knowing this one thing.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, like, a part of it.
Yeah.
Any other symbols?
Where are you?
I don't know if it's like a symbol, but the hound in the first part of the book, it's kind of been mentioned through the second part too. Of how it kind of is almost a symbol of like fear of like what could happen kind of thing if you were to go against like what the society, what is in place in the society, and like how the hound can be like programmed to attack or I think even kill you.
Yeah.
So I think that it causes people, or at least Guy, to live in a place of fear and of like he knows after stealing the books, he knows the consequences of his actions and or like the inevitable of like what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like lurking in the back of his head, he remembers that like it is like dangerous to be doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
So like Mildred, she wants to buy all these like walls, right? I think that's kind of symbolizing how we spend money to buy things, and that in turn makes us isolated. Like it traps us in those walls.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be why she's buying all of them, and like why a guy kind of doesn't want to buy the last wall.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to be isolated from her, like fully.
Mm-hmm.
And then as well, if we compare Mildred with within those walls with Clarice, Guy always meets Mildred like at home. She's always on her own, but then Clarice is, he always meets her outside,
mm-hmm.
and that's like in the open. And Clarice is outside and she's there for free.
That's
so like,
true.
Is she doing what she wants to do that makes her happy and that's free? Whereas Mildred, she's trying to find something that makes her happy but is expensive.
Yeah,
so
and
like
materialist.
Yeah.
Personally, I guess, is the word,
like,
yeah.
Which type is true happiness?
Which could be one of the psychological conflicts that drives the book materialism.
Yeah, materialism is totally true.
Yeah.
I think there's a few more words. They use the word relatives a lot, and I think that was really
family,
cool.
And the
yeah.
aunts and uncles.
And how it's like, it's, they don't really have a family to be
yeah.
in their living room, but like the TVs on the walls and like the programs that Mildred is watching are like, they change completely the way that she's like thinking and acting, and like she's so indulged in the programs, and like she calls them her relatives, like they're her family, and like so does Guy, and like I think even Beatty called them her relatives too.
When he was like feeling sick, when Guy was like feeling sick, and then he was like, can you turn like the TV down,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know if you call it the TV, like the screens, I don't know.
Yeah.
She was like, but they're my family, and she
yeah.
like defended them. This is really weird. It was
yeah.
bizarre.
In my book, there's a certain individual, well there's some characters that we get introduced to, because there's a lot of different points of views in my book, and there are some individuals that, and the author uses German because their native tongue of the
mm-hmm.
character is German. And when I was thinking of the question for why would the author use that, I thought about like, oh, maybe it's because like he wants it to be as authentic as possible, right? Because when you think about it, when you have a thought process, if your native tongue isn't English, then you're not going to think in English. You're
yeah.
going to think in German.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so when I, like, there's a lot of, like, lines where it's in German, and then I would have to translate what it means as I'm reading
cool.
it.
That is cool.
Because, like, I wouldn't know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I found it really cool. Like, that was one thing I thought about when I was reading this one question, because I was not sure about it, and I was just like, oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know two more, like, symbols that kind of were in the book that haven't been talked about a lot yet, but, like, the salamander and the phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
On the fireman's
yeah,
like
actually.
Shoulders or like something to do with their like uniform, and I know that like the salamander is like another. They're told to be like fireproof, and I think that in a way, the firemen are treated differently than everybody else. Like when. Captain Beatty comes over and is like, when Guy asks him the hypothetical question of, if I were to have accidentally taken a book, what would happen? And Beatty was like, oh, well, you'll have 24 hours to burn it yourself, or they'll come and burn it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that's not how it works for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the firemen almost have, like, a bit of extra security from, like, everybody else.
Would they burn the book, or would they burn his house down with the
I
book?
I think
stuff?
Just the book.
Mm-hmm. Just the book.
Because the houses themselves are fireproof.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then,
so when, sorry, mm-hmm. when they're burning the house down, it's a fireproof house. They're just burning the books inside.
Yes. Right.
What?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought they were burning the entire house down.
No. Yeah, it's just like the books inside the houses. Yeah. Because after, like, when Captain Beatty was doing his big monologue about how things changed or whatever, he was like, once things started to develop and people started to get more educated, they wanted to change that, and then they created the houses to be fireproof. And then the firemen's jobs changed, and then they were the ones destroying the books. And then another one that was another symbol was the phoenix. And I know that, I don't know a lot about the phoenix, but I think it means like something to do with like rebirth.
Yeah.
So I think that later on that might symbolize something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, like, if we think about the salamander, right? It's on the ground, but the phoenix is a bird and it's flying.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you compare those? Like, the salamander is on the ground, but it's fireproof, so it's immune to the fires that are destroying the books. We can say the knowledge, but then the phoenix, it flies, so it can escape fire, say. But then if it does burn, then it gets reborn. So then why are they comparing those two animals?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay. So how does the setting in which the characters live affect their train of thought and decisions?
Well, Guy is really cautious because he's interested in the books and he doesn't want things or want the other firemen to know because it's dangerous for him. And now Beatty already knows anyway, but he was sitting around with them playing poker or something, right? And they were in the fire hall, and then he started asking them like about the information, little like things they had, and what was it again? They were like a little like a history thing, and it was like talking about like how firemen came to be and stuff, and he was like asking like why, and like why is this like that? And they were just like, again, like he was crazy. So setting definitely like affects the way that he talks about things. And for Clarice though, it's like, did you guys get to the part where she's gone yet?
Yeah, supposedly dead.
Yeah, so I think because since she was just so like carefree and like spoke her mind and was like different in school because she was like interested and always asked why, they like either took her away or like she died, but I think there's like some sort of conspiracy behind it. So yeah, the setting definitely, well, it doesn't really affect her personally because it doesn't change the way she acts, but something happened to her.
Did they burn her house down?
No.
No.
I feel like they like put her into like a camp or something.
I think
change
so.
Her
yeah. Yeah, I think so. So.
I feel, yeah, right.
Maybe something like that.
Yeah.
And we don't. We also don't know if like her family is still there or not. Like,
yeah.
Like, if it was just her that's gone, or if like, her family's gone.
It's just.
But I really liked what Nicole said about like the difference between the relationships between Mildred and Clarice, and I think that like that's so true, and how their setting, like I think the setting affects them as a character a lot. Because Mildred is very confined to her own space, like you said, and then Clarice is so free and
two ends the scale.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that relates to in real life too, because the place, the area you live in really affects your train of thought, and like the way you have been born into it really affects your train of thought too.
Mm-hmm.
Because like there are like individuals like us who live in Canada and we have freedom, and we have freedom of speech, we have freedom of religion, we have freedom of practically basically anything instead of murder. except murder, sorry.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. But then there are individuals who live in societies that are isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, there are no rights for women. There are no rights for, like, I don't know. But, like, it's just very, very, like...
Minorities.
Yeah, yeah, the minorities. And, like, it makes me think a lot, because even though these are just books... Like, it makes you think, like, this is in real life happening, too.
Yeah.
Like, there are people in real life that are, like, going through stuff
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. Because sometimes you forget, like, we're such a small part of the world.
Yeah.
But in reality, there's so many countries that are, like,
living
through much more difficult situations than we are.
Yeah. Also, like, even if it's just, it could be, like, two people living in, like, the same place, and if one of them is always, like, in their house, they're watching TV all the time, they're like surrounded by technology and they never leave, it's gonna have negative effects on them, like the way like Mildred lives, and she's kind of like going a little crazy, I think.
yeah.
Like,
from what I've heard.
And then like contrasting to like someone who's like young and free and like youthful and is like outside and enjoys nature and questions things and still has like curiosity for life and stuff, it's gonna be like a really different contrast. So like, yeah,
I feel like Ray Bradbury's kind of hinting at the fact of like when there is gonna be a lot of technology, which is the now, like now in society, he's kind of hinting at the fact that he thinks everyone's gonna be so focused on technology that they're not gonna have any.
I think like, that's true in like, some parts.
Yes. What's strange though for me with that is like the younger generation, like Clarice is like not the one absorbed within it. It's
exactly.
Like the older generation, which is now flipped.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
It's really weird.
That's true.
Yeah. But when you think about it, it's not that flipped though. Because when you think about it, when I think about my dad, for example, he has a phone, right? When he's on his phone, like I talk to him and he's not listening to me.
Yeah,
he's on his phone.
That's true.
But like when you think about me, when my dad starts talking to me, I put my phone down.
Yeah.
But like I'm still listening to him even though I'm on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like when you think about it, it's kind of
like
a
respect thing.
Yeah, it's kind
that's
of
true
respecting too,
too
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they might even like have a lack of respect for themselves even too.
Yeah.
I think.
To treat themselves like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And it's also like growing up with the technology because the older you are, this new technology gets introduced, you're not as used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you grow up along the technology, then you know how to balance real life and the technology.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm. So in my book, it's like I'm going to talk about the setting now.
Yeah.
Technology. But in my book, it's like most of the characters live in a Japanese controlled San Francisco. And it leads to a huge respect that they have for the Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
But it also leads to them hating the Japanese because like they have respect for them because they're supposed to, right? Because if they don't show it, then ooh, what if I get in trouble? But at the same time, like there's this one character, Robert Childen, that has the store for the authentic American artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's literally what it's called. Okay, so then he has this hatred for them. But it starts growing when he gets introduced to this couple, and he keeps thinking, oh, this couple thinks they're so much better than me. Which in reality, when you're reading the pages, when you're reading the books, the couple is actually being super, like, respectful and nice, and they're not saying, like, they're not hinting at anything.
Yeah.
But him, he's always like, oh, they think they're superior than me. Like, I hate them. They're not any better than me. So he's kind of being the little guy by thinking he's the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is one big event that happened in your story that shifted a character's way of thinking? How did the character behave in that situation?
I have when Clarice held the dandelion up to Guy's chin and was like, oh, like if it's yellow, you're in love. And then she was like, oh, but it's not yellow. And he was like, well, but it's fake. Like, I'm definitely in love. And he thought about it later and he was like, oh, I guess I'm really not. You know, I'm not very happy. I'm not in love with my wife. And so that, I think that was kind of like the beginning of like his total curiosity and starting to like break out of like his, it was like a daze that he was in of just like conformity and like not thinking for himself. And then finally she like just did that tiny little thing, just a little childlike, you know, just like a little game, you know?
Yeah.
And then he was totally like, wow, I'm like, what's happening in the world? That's my.
And I think that the way that he interacted with Mildred changed a bit after that because, like, in the end there, after he showed her the books that he'd been collecting and stealing, he was telling her, like, I'm not happy. Like, I need to figure out if it's because I'm trapped in this world of, like, oppression almost or if it's, like, their marriage or what. But he's like, will you help me, like, if you actually love me, like, will you help me kind of thing, like, will you help me discover if these books are really, like, truly full of, like, knowledge and, like, imagination and creativity kind of thing, or if they are just what Captain Beatty was telling him. And I think that it changed how he started interacting with her.
Yeah, he asked her, he was like, do you love your family? And she couldn't even answer it because she's, like, she doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
I said, like, when he takes the first book, because I think if he hadn't, like, gotten that, like, rush and that, like, push to take it, he never would have done it, and then, like, nothing would have stemmed off of that. So, yeah, I just said that.
Mm-hmm.
for me, it was, as I said before, when he discovered that the gun was fake, the guy, he was very, like, embarrassed mm-hmm. in that situation, because you have this buyer who's, like, trying to buy it from you, and then the buyer is telling you that it's fake. So it's, like, he was very embarrassed, and I don't know what exactly happened. I don't have my book right now. But, like, what ended up happening is the buyer was just, like, I'm not going to tell anyone about this. Like, this situation, just as long as you go and fix it. And then he ended up writing this, like, really angry letter, and, like, he's calling them, and he's, like, hey, like, why did you sell me a fake gun? Like, why did you do that? And then it shuffled into more, mm-hmm. like, yeah. defensive thing. So is there any characters in your books, in the novel, which have shown multiple sides to their personality? And what caused this?
I don't know if this is right, but I said Beatty, maybe, because when he came... Because throughout the whole book, he was just kind of like... Or at the beginning, I mean, he showed, like, he was, like, strong and, like, cold, kind of, and, like, didn't really have, like, a sympathetic side to him, it seemed. And then he visited Guy when he was sick, and, like, basically gave him a second chance, like, knowing that he stole the book, and tried to explain the world to him, and, like, it was kind of sympathetic. It was also just kind of, like, direct. It wasn't really like, oh, like, are you okay? Like, he was just trying to convince him. Yeah, so I don't know if that really works, but...
I agree. I think that... I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I agree, because I think that him coming to the house, he knew that something had happened that night, because Guy had been so, like... he didn't want to leave that woman to die in that house. And there was a change in his personality, I think, during that fire that they were setting. So I think that when he didn't show up to work, Beatty knew that something was different and something was wrong. And so him coming over there, even if it was just to convince him to come back to work, I think it did show that, like, he did care enough about him to come. And even if it was, like, almost to protect him and to convince him, like, even if he knew or didn't know if he took the book or not,
yeah.
it was kind of like... He was almost protecting him against himself, I think.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a different side than what we saw at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think it was the same with, like, Mildred, too.
Yeah.
Because she changed a lot from the beginning when she, like, almost, like, OD'd on pills. And, like, she seemed like she was in a very different mental space in the beginning, where she was, like, very unhappy. Whereas, like, in the second part... She talks about, like, going and visiting with a friend, and it hadn't seemed like she, like, ever left the house at that point. And so, like, hearing that also showed that maybe she has a different side to her, and her also, like, having her own, like, psychological conflict of do I help Guy or not is also showing that she does care about him, maybe not in the same way that a marriage should be, but... She does have some sort of respect for him.
Yeah, it was kind of, like, robotic, almost, how she changed like that and just became a total different person. She was, like, so sad and, like, quiet at the beginning of the book, and then she, like, OD'd, and then they brought her back, and she was just not even, like, herself anymore. Like, she was just completely, like, just, like, brainwashed.
So is it, like, when she OD'd, does she... like, go to the hospital, and then they bring her
No,
back.
It was, like, the weirdest situation. Yeah. Like, these two guys came in, and they were, like, smoking, and they, like, just didn't
they
care.
They aren't even, like, paramedic.
And they had this machine thing. They're just dressed
basically,
in their clothes, and they, like, plugged her up, and, like, I don't even know what they did.
It's basically, like pumping your stomach.
Yeah, they take everything out, and then they, like,
and they replace your bloodstream, too.
Yeah.
Just to get all the toxins out of your body.
That's so strange.
And then they're, like, yeah, she'll be, like, tired in the morning, and they were just really chill. And then they were, like, oh, we have to go, we have another call.
Yeah.
And he was like, what?
And then also Guy was, like, super concerned then, and he was like, I wish they could have, like, taken out all of her thoughts and replaced them too.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't have had to gone through that, like, hardship. But then after, he, like, does not love her at all.
I know.
They, like, are so cold, and it was kind of really.
And there was another moment where he was either lying in bed or in the bedroom, and she went, like, kept going to the bathroom and, like, still, like, popping pills.
Oh, yeah.
At one point. So it's almost like she's kind of, like, a different person at night, kind of. Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. She seems different during the day, sometimes.
sometimes not. Because at night, does she have her radius?
Yes.
She has her seashells.
Yeah, she has her seashells in. But she does normally have them in during the
she
day, too.
She always has them in.
That's very strange.
So So I don't know,
no,
like,
I know
how she's changing or why.
And the next morning, she didn't want to talk about it. He was like, oh, like, last night. And she was like, nothing happened. Like,
yeah, she didn't remember.
That's very strange.
I think she remembered. I just think she just doesn't want to talk.
I think the paramedics was like, that's very strange. And they're not even paramedics. So they're so used to people OD-ing.
Exactly, yeah.
That. So, like, they don't even care anymore. They're like, oh, okay, it's a
yeah. They didn't even give any kind of comfort or anything to Gaia or anything. Nothing. It was just a robotic process.
It was very. It sounds like very much like just damage control. Like,
yeah.
Hey, leaving, which is what happens in real life too. Honestly, not with like ODing, but like with a lot of like situations that happen. Like there's a lot of damage control that just happens, and then everyone's like,
that's so true. Like the government or like people who are like leading a country or. A group of people, when something goes wrong and they don't want it to be shown to the public, there's so much damage control done to cover stuff up.
The thing with Justin Trudeau, when he, like, helped his friend out who had a business and he had done something illegal, and then someone on the, like, council or something, this girl, woman was like, oh, that's not right, and then she got fired, and then she went and she told the public, like, that was just, like, quick, like, snap of the fingers, like, she's fired, damage control done, and then it, like,
kind of backfired on them,
I feel like a lot of people in our society are very, very based on damage control, and I feel like that's how the government. That's not even the government though. Like in our book, it's mostly government based, but in reality, it can even be celebrities.
Yeah.
And like I'm just gonna talk about this,
James Charles.
Yeah. How he just did everything for damage control because he didn't want to lose his followers. He didn't want to lose his fans.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much they lie. Just as long as their lie is believable enough to get away with it, it's fine. And like,
and it's hard because like, people don't know what to believe then.
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's so many different things shown and like so much proof, but we don't know if that proof is actually legit or not. So it's hard to.
It shows the power of our words, guys.
That's so true. That is true.
Down,
and
so,
like,
go ahead.
And like, they're all trying to protect their reputation as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like, rather than being truthful to everyone, rather than doing what most people consider right, you're like, hey, I'm this person, believe I'm what I'm trying to tell you.
Right. Each person is trying to take a side, and they're like, I'm right.
Like the witch trials.
Oh, yeah.
So many connections. So, last question.
Okay.
Are there any characters in your novel that strongly follow their id?
It is their instinct, right?
Their instant gratification. They don't really think, they just do.
I think it could be Clarice, but then again, she doesn't... I haven't seen her in the book act on any of these thoughts that she's had. She kind of just throws them out there for other people to grasp.
That's true.
And to, like, lead other people. So, yeah, she doesn't really follow it, but she kind of, like... just like starts the seed.
Yeah. I think the biggest one is Guy stealing the book.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because it's totally against his morals and totally against what's like the reality of everything else going on around him.
It's his instinct.
But it's his instinct that tells him there's something.
Yeah.
There's something out there that I'm missing out on, and he realizes that something's missing, and he thinks that it's like his happiness that's being that he doesn't have enough happiness in his life, I guess. And then he like chooses with his he like follows his instincts and takes the book.
Yeah, it's like it got through him.
Yeah.
He was and like, I need to know because otherwise he's just gonna live an unhappy life without knowing anything. And he doesn't have any happiness in his life, so
even like since he knows that it's completely wrong and he could be like severely punished for it, and it could also affect Mildred because she, now that the books are in their house, she's also affected by it too.
That's a super ego telling him, oh, you're doing something wrong taking the book. For me, it's like there's this one character, his name is Joe, and he's like a really good example because he ends up spending the night with this one other character named Juliana, and he just stays and like he does whatever he wants. Like, he does whatever would benefit him in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because, like, for example, like, Juliana's reading a book and then he's talking to her and he doesn't even care if she's listening. He's just talking anyway because he's like, I want to talk. And, like, she's just like, oh, be quiet. I'm trying to read a book. But he doesn't even acknowledge her.
Mm-hmm.
He just continues talking.
So like, he's kind of thinking to himself.
I also think the other character that follows their it is, like when we were talking about Captain Beatty coming over to their house.
I was going
to
say Beatty, yeah.
Yeah, because he had some sort of a feeling or instinct that something was wrong with Montague, and like
it was like a tiny bit, because like throughout the whole book it was like there's no human connections. Mm-hmm. Nobody seems to love each other or anything. The only time it was shown was with like Clarice and her parents or uncle, and that was like the only time where Beatty just kind of showed a little bit of sympathy for Guy, and like he doesn't want him to leave the fireman.
Yeah,
I feel like Beatty knows more because he's the captain.
Yeah,
I agree.
This is the reason why he's showing sympathy.
I feel like also, like, as much as I want to say that he was being sympathetic, and I really kind of believe he was, I feel like he also, like, just, yeah, he knows more, and
he's trying,
like,
to control.
He's trying to, he's trying to, like, not get him to think like that, and he's like, don't think like this, like a lot of people, because I feel like he's seen it before.
He said that every fireman, in, like, in their career has a moment where, I don't know if it was a true thing that he was saying, or if he was saying it just to convince Guy.
He probably works for, like, up higher in the government.
Yeah, maybe he does, and, like, knows more about, like, what the firemen's jobs actually are supposed to be, or, like, were at one point.
Or, like, what if he went through an experience that caused him to be this way?
Yeah,
like,
maybe.
He experienced himself being so curious, and then seeing something getting taken away from him really caused him to be
that's
like,
true, yeah.
I don't want this to happen to anyone else.
Yeah.
Well, any last words?
Perfect.
Okay.